There's another Gemara on my desk if you want. Today's shiur is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Yud Beis. We will begin in Daf Kuf Yud Aleph on the Beis at the Gemara, second wide line right after the Mishnah. We learned in the previous Mishnah, we began learning the halachas of the Ir HaNidachas. So it says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan Yatzu, the Mishnah, the Pasuk, actually described that people went out. People went out. Hein v'loy shluchim. It has to be the people themselves, and not shlichim of them, not their emissaries. So Mefarshim ask, if somebody is trying to influence people in a city, Rachman al-Tzlan, to worship Avodah Zarah, so by definition, they're their own people. So why should it not be considered Ir HaNidachas? To which the Rishonim respond, that Amish Agamemnon is referring to a situation, as we learned in the Mishnah, we're going to learn in the Gemara in a moment, that the people themselves are individuals who are not considered halachically medichim. It's women, it's children. So therefore, they don't have their own independent ability to be medichim. They're only medichim because they're shlichim. But then asks the Aruch Haner, we know, we've learned the concept numerous times, that ain't shlich l'dvar aveira. So here, why are these people not able, of course, why would we need a pasuk to teach Tzvay Shluchim? Don't we have a concept of Ein Shlich L'Dvar Aveira? So he answers that our Gemara is referring to a situation where these individuals expressly indicated that this, what they're saying and they're trying to convince people to worship Avodah Zarah, they're doing a Shlichim. And maybe there we don't apply the concept of Ein Shlich L'Dvar Aveira. And perhaps it would be considered in the Dachas, teaches us the Braise that not. Anoshim, the Pasuk uses the words Anoshim to teach us, Ein Anoshim Pachos Mebeis. You can't have less than two men. Tavach Anoshim, Vloy Anoshim, not women. Anoshim, Vloy Ketanim. Bnei Belial, Bonim Sheparku Oil Me'al Tzavareim. It has to be that the people are trying to convince them not to worship Avodah Zarah. Mikabecha, v'loy min asfar. It can't be a border city. And again, just to repeat something that we learned back on Daft Hazayin on a base, machloitis tanom, why is a city on the border not acceptable? Can't be in the dachas. One opinion was because it's a gzeris akosif. Another opinion was because it's a gzera that if we're going to have a city on the border completely eliminated, as the ir nidachas is, it will be exposed and put Klal Yisrael into danger. Yosh ve'iram, v'lo yosh ve'echeres, the medichim have to be members of that city. Leimar, shetrichim edev asrol kol echav echad. As the halacha always requires, we have to have two edim who actually testify that these people worship Avodah Zarah, and has to be hasra given to every person. Itmar. So the Gemara brings up another subject which is not directly related to our sugya. Rav Yochanan Omer, Cholkin Achas L'Shnei Shvatim. Halachically, it's acceptable to divide a city into two Shvatim. When they divided up Eretz Yisrael, you could divide one city up to two Shvatim. Shlokesh Omer, Ein Cholkin Achas L'Shnei Shvatim. Halachically, that's unacceptable. Eser Rav Yochanan Shlokesh. Eser Rav Yochanan Trei Shlokesh. Let's learn our Mishnah. Achi Yumi Dicheho. For it to be considered in the Dachas, it has to be a situation that the Medichim are Me'oisar Ir, live in that town, or Me'oisar Shevet, are from that Shevet. My love, isn't the Mishnah teaching us? Afgad Medichem Me'oisar Ir, even though the Medichim live in that city, only, E'ikim Me'oisar Shevet, if they are members of the same Shevet as the majority of that city in Eloi. Eloi. But if they're not members of the majority, they cannot be considered Medichin. So, how is that possible? Unless, says the Gemara, Shema Menach, Cholkin Irachs, L'Bei Shvatim, that you have the city divided up between two Shvatim, and therefore these people live in the city, but even though they live in the city, they're not members of the majority Shevet of the city. But they are inhabitants of the city, so isn't this a raya that we do divide a city up into between two shvatim? a question in Reish Lakish's opinion. It says, Maraloi, if they live in the city, and the city is always one shevet, we are referring here to a situation, the Nafla Birusha, that somebody got this piece of property in the city, and their house in the city, Birusha. That means he yashin it from his mother's side. And as the Mefarshim say, even though we learned Masechta the Tainis, that if a woman is supposed to be the Yorish of her parents, in order that we shouldn't have all of this transfer of Yerusha and Eretz Yisrael, they should marry within their Shevet. So, number one, the Rishonim say, that was perhaps only for the Dor HaMidbar, for the B'nai Tzolavchad. But it wasn't a requirement for all future generations. Furthermore, there could be a situation like this, where there's a person who has sons and daughters. So if he has sons and daughters, his daughters would not be his Yarshim. So his daughters married members of another Shevet. And then afterwards, Rahman al-Islam, before he passed away, all of his sons died without any children. So then his daughters became his Yarshim. So when they married outside of the Shevet, they didn't do anything wrong. Einami, another Teretz. The Yavne al-Mitana, somebody was given a gift, even though he's not a member of that Shevet, a gift of a property in that town, and that's why he lives there. The Rishonim point out, our Gemara is very deliberate and not speaking about the obvious case, where somebody bought a house in that town, and he's not from that Shevet, because that isn't really an issue, because he can't remain with that house ultimately because of Yovel. We want to refer to situations where they'll remain with these properties forever. Yerusha, Matana, Yovel doesn't affect. So the Gemara asks another question. Eisvei, the Pasuk says in Yeshua, as the Pasuk mentions all of the cities in Eretz Yisrael, Aram Teisha, Meishnei Shvatim Eila. The Pasuk speaks about nine cities that were in the territory of Yehuda and Shimon. Mailav. So how do we divide nine by two? Mailav, Arba Pagamihai, Vaba Pagamichai. Yeshua, Shimon had 4.5, and Yehuda had 4.5 cities. Shmamino, isn't this again an indication the Chokin Achas Lebei Shvatim? Says the questioner Reish Lakish, says Nemar, no. What happened here was, Loi, Abba Mahai V'chomish Mahai. One had 4 and one had 5. Ask the Gemara, Yach Lifrish Prushi. And the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara is beautiful. The Pasuk tries always to be as clear as possible. So if it's easily understood, let's say it would be an even number, 8. So it's easily understood. Yehuda had 4, Shimon had 4. But now when it says 9, and we're saying, you know what 9 means? 5 and 4, that isn't obvious. So the Pasuk wouldn't have left itself that ambiguous. So the Markasha. As I've always said, we have a rule this year that when the Gemara says Kasha, that means an answer to the Kasha. When the Gemara says the word Tiyufta, there is no answer. So since the Gemara here uses the words Kasha, so it says the Chedushe Haran, how do we understand? So the Chedushe Haran says as follows. He says that actually, it's a Pasuk in the Torah. Shimon did not have his own independent territory. Because the Pasuk says, Achalkeim Yehuda v'afitzem Yisrael, because of the Maitz Shechem. So all of Shimon's territory that he got was really subsumed in the territory of Yehuda. So when the Pasuk says there was 9 cities, some Yehuda, some Shimon, it really doesn't make a difference because it's really all Yehuda anyway. Continues the Gemara. Ibailu, Chotchum Me'aleim Mahu. We go back to the process of Ir Nidachas that we discussed in the Mishnah at the beginning of today's shir. You have to have Medichim. So Mara's question is, does it have to go that way, there were Medichim? Or if the majority of the city on their own got convinced that they should worship Avodah Zarah, what would be the halacha? And as the Aruch Lener frames the Gemara's question, we know that there's a Manda Omer, there's an old Machlekes, Brinin Krokod Iksiv, or Loi Brinin Krokod Iksiv. When the Torah says something, the Torah being very specific. So our Gemara's question is obviously, according to the Manda Omer, that Loi Brinin Krokod Iksiv, that the Pasuk doesn't have to be followed exactly. So now the Gemara's question is, so how much room do we have? And what will be the halacha if on their own they got convinced to worship Avodah Zarah? Do we say, v'yitcho amrachmana, the Torah is specific, that it has to be through medichim, v'loy shehitcho aleim, not on their own, or dimma, feel hutcho aleim, even if it happened on their own? Tashma, from what we learned at the beginning of the shir, hidchu nashim ktanim, that if they were convinced by women or ktanim, it's not an ir nidachas. Amai, why? If chutchme aleim is considered ir nidachas, chutchme aleim should be no worse than nashim ktanim. Amai lahavik chutchme aleim. So if nashim ktanim don't make an ir nidachas, that seems to be a clear proof. Neither will chutchme aleim. Says more, it's not a raya. Hanach nasa basa nafshi grida. Hani basa nasa ktanim greedy. Which means as follows. If someone is convinced by a man to worship Avodah Zarah, that has a very strong influence. And it's probably serious. If a person, Rahman Slan, is convinced on his own, it's also serious. If he's only convinced by nasa ktanim, they have very weak influence over people. And therefore we don't really believe that there's a real commitment here. And therefore, hutchmi aleim could be different than Noshim Ktanim. And that's why by Noshim Ktanim, indeed, it doesn't become an Irin Itachas. Hutch Mi'alei, maybe it does. The Gemara doesn't answer the question. We learned Ach Yiduch Ruba. Until the majority of the city becomes an Irin Itachas, it's not an Irin Itachas. So, we have an obvious question. This is the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara, and that's the way we're going to learn the Gemara. Heichi Avdinan. Because the question is a simple question. We have to judge each person independently. And as our Mishnah said explicitly yesterday, there's a very different rule between an individual who worships Avodah Zarah versus a city who worships Avodah Zarah. So when we take the first in Torah, and we judge the person for worshiping Avodah Zarah, and he's convicted, Rachman al-Slan, how do we treat him? We don't know if the majority of the city is going to be convicted. So how are we ever going to deal with this? That's the Gemara's question. I'll mention another pshat. We're not going to go with that pshat. The question is hasra. We know that when you give hasra, you have to be very careful to mention what hasra is. It's what the mis is. Is it skila or saif? So the Gemara's question is, what kind of hasra are you going to give? If it's skila, then you can't give saif. If it's saif, you can't give skila. I'm not going to work with that pshat. Amar Yehuda, danan v'chayshin, danan v'chayshin. So what he says is, you take a person to court, and you convict him, and then put him into jail, until we get a count and we see how many people worship the Avodah Zarah. Amalei Ula says, Ula, that can't be acceptable. Because Nimtza Ata Ma'anes Dinon, She'elu, they're going to sit in jail until we finish all these cases. And as we learned many times at the beginning of the Masechta, the Halacha doesn't allow a person who was convicted for execution to wait. And we said two sources. Either because I have to l'reach kamaicha, or either because we var to harav mikirbecha, you gotta rid yourself of such a person immediately. So this isn't an option. Ela ula, done the cycling, done the cycling. What we do is, and we'll use the number that we used in our previous shift in the Michas Chinuch. Let's say you have a city of 100 people, because he says that's the minimum number. So the first 51 are given skila, because we don't know what's going to be. After we already convicted 51 people, and they got skila, so now we have a situation that we know for sure that it's a majority of the city worshipped Avodah Zarah, the other 49 will get saif. Very interesting machlokes achronim. Very interesting machlokes achronim. These first 51 got skila. But I said a minute ago, and the Mishnah said it, that yechidim memainam polat. Their money doesn't get destroyed. Their money is destroyed. How do we treat the money of these first 51? On one hand, we should say they're treated like yechidim. What's the raya? They got skila. That's the opinion of some achronim. Other achronim say no. Killing them, we kill them right away. We explain now we have to kill them right away. And we gave them skila. But once we find out that they are members of Ir Nidachas, retroactively their money becomes usur. And that's why their mammon, even though they got skila, will be over. It's really unfair. They're getting the worst of both worlds. But actually, the Chazon Ish learns Peshat in the Gemara that way. It really is based on how to learn Peshat in a Rashi. I don't have time for that. Itmar, so indeed, this question, how do we approach this? Rav Yochanan, done of a cycling, until we could get a picture of what's going on. Rish Lakish is dissatisfied with Rav Yochanan's approach. Obviously, why? Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, we're never going to have a situation that the entire city is killed b'sayif. And the Torah speaks about Ir Nidachas killed b'sayif. So the Torah must be speaking about a reality. What's the situation? So that's why he has a different approach. Before I go further, before Rishonim asks, why don't we do a simple thing? It's a very interesting question. Why do we say that we can't convict and put the person into jail because it's a problem of Inui Adin? Why don't we just start the case, see where it's headed, and stop, and then start the next case, and then do all the convictions, all the verdicts on one day? So the Paiskim said, Rishonim already say this, that in Halacha that's unacceptable. To prolong a court case is unacceptable. Why? Because you're concerned that the Dayanim, by the time they have to reach a verdict, will have forgotten what they heard at the beginning of the case. So that's not an option that the Gemara suggests. Rather, what does Rish Lakish suggest? Mabalam Bati Dinam. We bring in many Bati Dinam that we could do all of the cases in one day. Ask the Gemara, Aini, that doesn't make sense. Because Amar Chamba Yoisi Amar Baishia, the pasuk regarding the Irin Nidaka says, V'tzeses isha hu asa isha hi, ish vi ish at the mitzvah l'sherecha, if an individual, Rachman Shalom, worship of Avodah Zarah, his case takes place in front of a bezdin in the town, a bezdin of 23 members. However, vi at the mitzvah kol ir kulu l'sherecha. You don't take him to the bezdin, you take him to the Sanhedrin. And you could add as many Sanhedrin katanas, but there's only one bezdin hagadol. And this verdict has to be done by the Bezdin HaGadol. So what's Rish Lakish saying? Says the Gemara, what Rish Lakish means is as follows. Mabalem Bati Dinim. We make a lot of Bati Dinim. And all these Bati Dinim, Mayinim B'deneim, they examine and analyze the case. And they don't reach a verdict, they're not allowed to. But they make a recommendation. And then after that is done, they take that all up to the Bezdin HaGadol, and then the Bezdin HaGadol reaches the verdict all in one day. And if it's a situation that most of the city, Rachman Shalom, worshiped the Avodah Zarah, became in the Dachas, and they killed B'sayif. The Rishonim point out clearly that of course it's not that the Bezdin HaGadol just rubber stamps what they hear from the Bezdin HaKatan. Otherwise there's no purpose in that. On the other hand, the Miches Chinuch discusses, would they take Edom again? We know that the crucial part of a Din Torah is taking testimony, and the Miches Chinuch quotes a resag that you don't take Edom again. It's pretty practical, because if you're going to have to start taking Edom all again, they won't be able to reach all the verdicts in one day. So he says, for that, the Bezdin HaGadol could rely on the Sanhedrin Katanas that told them, we took the testimony, and this is our recommendation. Continues the Gemara, HaKasakas Yosh V'ir. So we learned in the Mishnah, Tanur Rabbanan, HaChameres V'Gemelos, HaYveres V'Mokim L'Mokim. If you have people that are coming through the town, Lona B'Toycho V'Hotchi Ima, and they remain in the city, and the Mepharshim point out, there's no question unless they stayed overnight, V'Hotchi Ima, and they are also worshipped Avodah Zarah. So the halacha is as follows. Im Nishtah Hashem L'Amajoy, if they were in the city for 30 days, so they're considered members of the city, and therefore, if they worship the Avodah Zarah together with the other members, the din of Irin Adachas applies. Haim b'saif u'memanim avid. Pachs mikan haim b'skila u'memanim palit. It's interesting to point out that the Rishonim say, we're going to learn it again, that money that belonged, whether it's tzaddikim or Rishon, that lived in this town and had money in the town, their money is destroyed if the money is in town. If it's outside of the city, there's a difference between tzaddikim and rishon. But when we talk about these itinerant people that aren't in the city, and it's from Mayim and Palat, all of their money is saved, even the money that they brought into town. So here we learned in our Gemara, in our Mishnah, our Gemara, that what makes you a member of the town? 30 days. Vermini asked the Gemara, it says, and also I have to point out, obviously, the members have to be from the same shevet. Like we learned, the din of shevet and everything else still apply. Rimini, kam yebi yevi yei kedshir. This Gemara we learned from Sechav Abbasra. The Gemara discusses there how long do you have to live in a town that you should be obligated to pay taxes? Kam yebi yevi yei kedshir. Yud beis chodesh. 12 months. So we have a question. We just said 30 days, and here it says 12 months. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava Lakasha. Halam have b'nei masa. To be considered a b'nei masa, you need 12 months. Ha, l'mehevi mi yoisvei masa, 30 days is enough. So it's very interesting to point out that a few very important halachas, they have actually very significant repercussions. If somebody moves into a town, al manas l'shtakeya, when they intend to settle, so then he becomes a full-fledged citizen immediately. What is the definition of al manas l'shtakeya? So certainly all the paiskim agree that if somebody buys a house where to live in the town, he automatically becomes a citizen of the town immediately. Furthermore, if he rents an apartment and he signs a lease for 12 months, even though he didn't buy a property, he also becomes a citizen of the town. And that's why there's the Mukhi Yosef and Hilchas Mezuzah, that even though we know that if somebody buys a house in Chutz La'aretz, as soon as he moves in, he's mechuyev to put up a mezuzah. When you rent the house, you can wait till, it says 30 days. The Nemuki Yosef, and many Paiskim Paskim like the Nemuki Yosef, if you rented an apartment with a lease that's a year, for a year, then you mechuyev mezuzah right away. And it's based on this point. The question is, if somebody rented an apartment with no lease, but he intends to stay there for a year, what is his category? That's a shout. Ramah has a question about that. But then there's a kasha that many achronim ask. Our Gemara, and the Gemara is going to prove it with a brice in a moment, gave us two categories. 12 months, 30 days. But we all know that regarding Purim, with his Purim and Shushan Purim, the Gemara says, and that's the halacha, pros ben yoyim mekari pros. That means, let's say you live in Yerushalayim. So you're supposed to celebrate Purim and Tezvav Adar. And your Dalar Adar, you happen to be in Bnei Brak, you have to hold Purim on your Dalar Adar. Even though you didn't move there, you're just there today. Pros ben yoyim mekari pros. How does that work with our Gemara? Some Sofer asked the question. So some Sofer indicates there are three categories. Our Gemara spoke about a category of Yosei Masa, B'nai Masa, and Yosei Masa. And then there's a new category of somebody who's just visiting. And for Purim, just visiting is enough. In fact, the Chasam Sofer says a beautiful explanation. He says, every day we say in davening a few times, Ashrei Yoshvei Veisecha. What's the point of Yoshvei Veisecha? It's not enough that you should just be Veisecha. You have to be Yoshvei. You have to have some sort of a permanence in the Beis HaMedrash, that you should get the credit for being Ashrei. But the Shomayshiv says a very nice explanation. Why? Why is Purim different than all other areas of Halacha? He says, beautiful. He says, why is Purim, he says, it's the only Yontif that we find in the calendar that it isn't celebrated on the same day. Every other Yontif, there's a date for the Yontif, besides Purim. So the Megillah really answers it. Because Purim is a celebration that we were in danger, and we were saved. And the people in open towns were in greater danger than the people in walled towns. So what would have been, says the Shalom Eishiv, if you live in a walled city, that's where you live, but it happens to be hundreds of years ago when the day of Purim, you were in an Ari process. So you can't pick up a sign and say, you know, I don't belong here. I live really in a walled town. You would have been in danger. So it doesn't make a difference where you really live. It makes a difference where you were, what day were you in danger. And that's why Purim is different than all other areas of Halacha. Vatanya, and in fact, the Gemara proves here Vatanya is not a kasha, it's a raya. This distinction, Hamuda Anob Bnei Ir, Im Yesham Odom Shnishtasham Yudais Chodesh, if I make another, that I won't have enough for somebody who's a Bnei Ir, so anybody who's been in town for 12 months, Osla Hennes Mimenu, I can't benefit from him, but if it's Pachs Mikan, Mutla Hennes Mimenu, B'yoshvei Ir, but if I set in my nether, that I won't have hanoah from somebody who's a yoshvei here, their halacha is im nishtal la majoyim, os lahanas mimenu, pachs mikam mut lahanas mimenu. Hachram oisav es kol shabo, tana rabonim. Hachram oisav es kol shabo, prat le nichse tzadikim shabachutzla. I mentioned this a moment ago. If tzadikim own property and it isn't in the town itself, it doesn't have to be destroyed. Then the pasuk continues saying, as kol shabo, le rabbis nichse tzadikim shabachutzla. But if tzadikim have possessions in town, destroyed. Shlala, v'loy shlal shamayim. We're going to spend a lot of time on that. Ve'es kol shlala. Then the Torah uses the words as kol shlala. The rabbi is nichse rishoyim shechutz loy. Here we learn a difference between nichse rishoyim and nichse tzadikim, that the nichse rishoyim that are from outside the city are destroyed. Amar Rav Shimon, continues the Gemara. Neima Amar Torah, nichse tzadik shvetoichi yo'avdu. If the tzadikim, why should their property be destroyed? So we alluded to this yesterday. Because mi garm lem shiyu b'taychad. Why would a tzaddik want to live in a city full of rishon? Memainam. because it was good economic conditions. So that's why l'fikach memanim of it. However, many Rishonim point out that, and it's actually meduyik in the Rambam, that's only Rav Shimon that says this, because throughout Shas we have the rule that Rav Shimon is darish tam of the craw. So Rav Shimon is the one that's going to make this distinction based on this reasoning. The other Tanoim who don't follow Rav Shimon's opinion wouldn't have said this. Continues the Gemara. Omamar, v'skol shalola tikbets, l'rabbis nichs rishayim shebechutz l'arts. That the nichs rishayim that aren't even in town are destroyed. However, Omar of Chizda, u'benikbatzlum taichai. So Rashi says two pshatim in nikbatzlum taichai. One pshat Rashi says nikbatzlum taichai is that it has to be property that can be brought to town quickly. It's not that the Nichsei Rishayim are so far away they can't get here on time when everything's being destroyed. That's one pshat Rashi says. Another pshat Rashi says that it has to be possessions of the Rishayim they once had in this town. Now these possessions don't find themselves in this town. But if these possessions, even though they belong to Rishayim, were never in this town, this halacha would not apply. But in learning Rashi, there's a machlokes achrayim. Some achrayim say the Rashi is telling us two conditions. Only if these two stipulations are met, that they can be delivered quickly, and that they were once in town, then the nechs rishayim shebechutz la'aretz are destroyed. But what happens if you can? But if one condition does make a difference. Others say the Rashi is saying two different pshatim. The mashallah is pshat and Rashi that way. And either the pshat is that it has to be property that can be brought quickly, or it has to be property was once here. But not that the two pshatim work together. Amar Chizda. Pekdonish, or Chizda makes a statement. Pekdonish alan she'ir an idachas matarim. Hey chidami. What does that mean? Ilema, the iracheris, visna, begavo, that somebody from a different city owns something, and he left as a bekadim here. Pshitin matarim. Obviously it's mutter. La shlalahu. It doesn't belong to somebody from this town. So the Achroinim ask, those of us who have learned Hilchos Pesach know that Pekdoinis, if I, a Jew, am holding on to somebody else's Pekodin, even if it's not owned by a Jew, even if it's owned by an Akum, the loch is, if I have responsibility, I have to destroy it before Pesach. So why should this be any different? So some Achroinim say, because the Torah says regarding Pesach, lo yirah l'chosar. The Torah adds the word l'cha, that it shouldn't be in your property under any circumstances. It's one pshat I saw. Another pshat I saw is a very cute pshat. This person who lives in the Eir Nidachas, and he's holding, watching somebody else's pekodim, his shmir is ending, because he's getting killed. So it's no longer pekodim of somebody in the Eir Nidachas, because he has to give it back, because he won't be here anymore to watch it. So again, rather means that somebody from the Inidachas owned something, and he gave it as a bekadin to somebody outside of the city. So ask the Gemara, if it's something that could easily be returned to this Inidachas, it should be destroyed like anything else. If, on the other hand, it can't be delivered in a timely fashion, we just learned in the previous Gemara that such property doesn't have to be destroyed. Answers Gemara Loilam the ear, Acheres the Mefkid B'Toicha. It is somebody else's property that's left here. My skin called the Kibbalah Achrayas, and the Pasuk is teaching us, Mada Taim Kibbalah Achrayas, since a member of the Nidachas took responsibility, the Halach ought to be Kididei Dami. Kamashmon, that regarding your Nidachas, it's not his, and he just gives it back to its rightful owner. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Chizda. Behema. Chetchi shal ir nidachas, chetchi shal ir acheris. If you have an animal that's owned 50% by a member of an ir nidachas, and 50% by somebody from a different city, asura, it's asur. And there are two approaches in the Rishonim as to understand why. Even though I always like to say Rashi's pshat first, I'm going to take the liberty to say the other pshat first because it's easier to understand. You can't divide a behema in half. Because you and I own an animal, I can't say, you know what, I'll kill my half and you can keep your half alive. It doesn't work. So therefore, the animal is looked as one unit. That's the simpler pshat. The more complicated pshat, which is what Rashi seems to be saying, is that this animal, 50% that's owned by a member of Ir Nidachas, must be killed. So shechita is just a form of killing it. And therefore, when you kill it, you have to kill it as an ir nidach, as an animal from the ir nidachas, and therefore it's completely osur. Isa, however, let's say they owed a doe, chetzi shel ir nidachas v'chetzi shel ir acheres, muteris. 50% by member of the ir nidachas, 50% by somebody else, it's muter. And here it's very simple why. Because the isa, every piece of the isa is independent. We could divide a doe into two. You take yours and I'll take mine. I, at the moment the city became an ir hanidachas, we didn't know which was yours and which was mine. So we say Breira. Ask the Shagas Aryeh, the question of Breira is a big question throughout Shas. And usually we paskin that ain't Breira, that we only say Breira by a drabonin, not by a deraisa. Here we're referring to a deraisa. So how could we rely on Breira? So the Mefarshim, again, there's a lot of explanations. The explanations seem to work as follows. Breira, where don't we say Breira? That if the two of us were partners in any item, and now we divide it up, so Breira can't say that retroactively the part that you took was always yours and the part that I took was always mine. There's no such thing as retroactively. But that's when we made the decision to divide it on our own. Here, it's not that we decided to divide it on our own. The halacha forces us to divide it. Because one of us is a member of the Irin Nidachas, and one isn't. There, everybody would agree to the concept of Yesh Breira. There's a beautiful vart, from Aaron Levine, the Reish Rav, in his Sefer Drash V'Ion, based on this Gemara. It's very interesting to note, in Parshas Kairach, Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Tefen El Minchasam. That means everybody contributed to Karban Mincha, and Moshe Rabbeinu was inspired to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the portion that was contributed by the Adas Kairach should not be burnt. Ask the Rashi Rav, what about the Karban Tamid? Every day, a Karban Tamid is brought twice a day, and everybody in Klal Yisrael contributes to the Karban Tamid. So why wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu mispal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu al tefen to the ashir of the Karban Tamid? Says the Rashi Rav, beautiful. An animal, Al Gemara just said, you can't divide. It is or it isn't. So Moshe Rabbeinu would have been very happy to say their portion of the Karban Tamid should be accepted. But Al Gemara says you can't divide an animal. A Karban Mincha is an Isa. And Al Gemara says an Isa you can divide. So Moshe Rabbeinu was specific in saying al tefen el minchasam. My tema, behema commanded like polygadamia. An animal can't be divided. Isa commanded polygadamia and Isa, as I explained, could be divided. Baruch Chizda, continues the Gemara. Behema's irnadachas which means as follows. And again, we live in a very different world. When we look at Shechita, we look at Shechita because you can't eat an animal. An animal can't be kosher unless it had a proper Shechita. But when we look at Shechita, Midaraisa, it has a different tachlis. It takes it away from Tumas Nevela. Which means, let's say you have an animal. And you notice animals are treifa. You can never eat it. Still there's a goal in shechting it, because like that it's not an avela. So the question the Gemara poses is somebody takes an animal of ir nidachas, which must be killed anyway, but he shechts it. Have you accomplished at least that much that it won't be an avela? Behemus ir nidachas ma'at ba'tasana ba'shchit la'tam de'an avela. Lefi cherev amrachmona. Alosh na shechta mishchat. Alosh na kot l'miktol. You killed it, and therefore it should be considered a nevela. I don't keep the shachta. At the end of the day, you did a ma'is shchita. Mahana was shchita. Ma'i, so the Gemara says teiku. Ask them another interesting question. By Rabbi Yosef, seir noshim tzidkanius. The hair of the noshim tzidkanius. What is their status? Amma Rava, why are you asking about the hair of the noshim tzidkanius? Had rishoyim aser? Would that imply that the hair of the women who aren't tzaddikim would be Asr, doesn't the Torah say, tik bites v'seraftik siv, mishenik mechusa el kvitz v'sreifa. Only here, that just has to be, only something that has to be gathered and burned. Yot is there, but here, shemechutza talish v'kvitz v'sreifa, the first has to be cut. So anyone's here should not be in the din of needed to be destroyed. Ela merava, we're referring to payanachris. 2 weeks. So again, ask the Gemara. Hey, chidami, idem mechubba begufa, if it's attached if the woman is wearing the wig, kagufadama. It's like part of what she's wearing. And certainly should not be considered an independent entity. Says the Marla Tzricha, the Talib is Sifta. It's hanging on a peg. Do we connect it to Dikin Shabbatai for Ovid? Is it like any other possession that we've been learning must be destroyed? A Dilma, even though right now it's not on that person's head, but since the person does put it on all the time, it's considered Klavusha Dhamma. It's considered like her garment. And the Gemara is holding here that the garments of the people of the town are considered like part of themselves, that are not considered like the possessions, they're considered like the person themselves, and therefore we're not the mechuyev to be burnt, and the Gemara leaves it with a teiku. There is another way of learning the Gemara, the Yad Ramah, just mentioned it briefly, who says that the way to understand it is, sometimes wigs are connected to the head, that it's difficult to remove, and sometimes it's connected in an easier way to remove. Those are the two types of wigs that are being discussed. It's an interesting vart, in Bris they say this. There are two people walking into shul in the morning. One is wearing his talis tefillin, and one is carrying his talis tefillin. Which person should go first? Which person should you let him through the door first? So this Gemara is a raya that the person who's carrying his talis tefillin goes before the person that's wearing his talis tefillin. Because our Gemara says that once you're wearing it, once you wear something, it becomes part of you. So they lose their own independent identity of being a talis tefillin. Therefore, they say that the person who's carrying the talis tefillin goes first. Continues the Gemara. This kol shlo tikbutz al tarich rechava, ten tanabodim. Ein lo rechav. Let's say the city doesn't have a center, city square. Ein enasas iridachas. Doesn't become iridachas. Divrei bishmal. Kiva ima ein lo rechav. If it doesn't have one, oisin lo rechav. We'll make him. The Maikavivki. Ma sover rechavim yikara. You have to make a city square that it should have been there before it became an iridachas. So now it's too late. Masover, whereas Rabbi Kiva holds, the Chava Hashtanai Mash, it's good enough now. There's another Pshat in the Rishonim to explain the Gemara as follows. The city square has to be a real city square. So just because you're going to manufacture one, you're going to make one, because you want to make it in Edachas, that doesn't make it into a real place of being the square. And that's why Rabbi Shmuel says, this city will not be in Edachas. Rabbi Kiva says that it has to be used as the Rechava. As long as you physically have one, that's enough that it should be in Nidachas. So even if you didn't have one previously, make one now and it'll be in Nidachas. We learned this really in the Mishnah. There were different types of kachim in Nidachas. Kachim is bayach. The kachim is bayach yimusu. Should be left to die. Kachim by the kabayis yiftu. The trumas yirkavu should be left to rot. And I explained, truma is treated less seriously the Maisa Shani, because people treat Truma more respectfully, especially it's usually by Kahanim, who are Kahanim was Rizahim. Rav Shimon continues the Braisa, makes the following statement. And the Gemara in tomorrow's Shir, Mr. Shem, will delve into it more. Rav Shimon, Omer, Behemta, V'loi Behemis B'chor Maisa. Shlala, Prat L'Kesav HaKodesh, L'Kesav Maisa. That's the Braisa. And I will begin to analyze it. Omer, Hayba kachim, kachim is bayach yimusu. We let them die. Ask the Gemara, v'may yimusu. Why do we let them just die? Why don't we do like we do in all areas of halacha where an animal becomes disqualified? That the halacha is yirchi yistavu. We let them go out graze until they become a balmum. V'yimachru v'yiplu d'meim l'nadava. And then we should sell the proceeds and use that to bring a carbon. They, like we learned, that there was a special pushka in the Beis HaMikdash where this money was put in, and if ever there was a time there were no kabbanis being brought, they used to use that money to buy kabbanis, that the Mizbeach shouldn't be empty at any given time. Answers the Gemara, Rav Yochanan, Amar Zevach Rishon Teva. Who are the people that originally owned these animals? The people of Ein Nidachas. So it's inappropriate that such people should have that their money, the proceeds of their animals, should be used as a carbon. So the Meiri discusses, so what would be the halacha according to this approach if the person, we learned in the Oman Aleph, that there could be tzaddikim in Eir Nidachas. So what would be if the tzaddik from the Eir Nidachas had an animal that was kachim? Should the halacha be by his animal, Yirush Yistavu? Because maybe there is no concern of Zevach Rishon Ta'eva, they're not Rishon. Or do we say that we treat everybody in the town equally? We're referring to kachrim. We know there are two ways of identifying a carbon. Harezu or harealai. If you say harezu and something happens to an animal, it's your obligation to replace it. No, on the contrary. You don't have to replace it. You just designated this animal. You said harealai becomes a personal obligation. That if something happens, you have to replace it. Rav Shimon he, and it follows the opinion of Shimon, tamar ma'am balahu. And therefore, that's why this carbon can never be brought, because it's mam and balam, and the balam are members of the ir hanidachas. Ask the Gemara, we can't explain the Mishnah that way. Because as when we learned the Braisa, because as when we read the Braisa on top of the Amid, Hamid the Sefer, since it's in the Sefer where Shimon's opinion is introduced, regarding Bechor and Maisa, it's clearly indication that the Reisha is Lav Rav Shimon. So back to trying to understand what is the case of Kachim Kalim. So it says, says the Gemara, it's referring to Kachim Kalim, like a carbon shlomim. And this braisa reflects the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Dama Kachim Kalim is not considered the Shel Shamayim, it's considered Mum and Balim. But according to this explanation, what would be indeed the din of Kachim Kachim? Mai, what would be the din? Yiftu, that they should be indeed redeemed, and the money should be brought for another carbon. Ask the Gemara, if that's indeed the halacha, why in the Sefer, when the Braisa wanted to teach us that there are certain kachim that are redeemed, did it speak about kachim abedek abayis, that their halacha is yiftu, the Braisa could have said something easier. Lifnik, the listener of the dog. The medvam amurim, where is the halacha that an animal that's there should be left to die strictly b'kachim kalim? Because kachim kalim, like Rabbi Yosef Aglili says, is considered mam balam. Abu kachim kachim yiftu. Why do we have to introduce a whole new case of bedek abayis? Answers the Gemara, because the case of kachim kachim is really not a hard and fast rule. Because there's a halacha by karmen chatas, which is kachim kachim, that a chatas shemesu baleo, the chatas that's owned to die, Lemisa Azla. So even though it's kachi kachim, there the halacha couldn't be yiftu. That's what the Gemara has to say. Kim de chatos shemesa balea, and this is certainly chatos shemesa balea because he's a member of the Irinidaka, so he's getting killed. Lemisa is lepsikala. So the Mishnah, the Braisa didn't want to start making differentiation between different types of kachi kachim. Says the Gemara. Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan Lama Krish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan didn't like Krish Lakish Pshat because the Ksiv Zevach Rishoyim Ta'eva. And he didn't want to have a situation where such a carbon is brought. Elrish Lokish my Tam Lam Krab Yochan. Amalach, Kiamalina Zevach Shrem Teva, Hari Mila Hechid Isna Beinayu, when the owners are here. But here the owners are getting killed, that's why there's no concept. You can't apply the concept of Zevach Shrem Teva. Rav Shimon Aima, Behem Techov La Behem Is Bechor Maisa. The Maiskinen. What type of Bechor Maisa? Because the Aloch by Bechor is as follows. A Bechor, until it becomes Balmum, you have to bring as a carbon. After it becomes a Balmum, then it's completely the owner's private property. So again, but my skin, elaim between them, that the animals are tamimim, shlal shemayim hu. So it has a din like behem, we just learned shlal shemayim is not destroyed. El b'mumim, that the animal became b'mum, asked the Gemara, so then it's full-fledged owner of the property of the owner, shlal enenu. So why would the halacha be that shouldn't be, why would it be treated differently? Answers the Gemara, Am Ravina Loilam Baal Mumin. It is referring to Baal Mumin. So if so, why isn't it treated like all the other property of this member of the Iran Nidachas? Says the Gemara, Umishanach Bataris Behemtacha, Yotsa Elush and Nachalam Bataris Behemtacha, El Bataris Bachar Umaisa, the Shalal Shemaim Ninu. Which means as follows. Even after Bachar becomes Baal Mum, and it's the property of its owner, it's not the same as everything else. And I saw two pshat in the Rishonim as to why. One pshat is a simple pshat. It still has the name Bechor. It's not just considered your regular animal. Another pshat is that even a Bechor that becomes a Balmum has to treat it with a certain level of respect. Like in Karm Bitlis, you can't just sell it in a butcher shop. So you see, it's not the same as everything else. And that's why, according to Rava, not only if it's not a Balmum, it's Tamimim, it's not treated like Shlola, but even if it's a Balmum, it's not treated like shlal, it's treated like shlal shemayim. That's Ravina's approach. However, says the Gemara, we'll plead the Shmuel. That's in disagreement with what Shmuel said. Dama Shmuel, Hakel Karav Vakel Nifter. Shmuel made this statement. Hakel Karav Vakel Nifter. And the Gemara immediately asked, my comma, what does he mean? Ha comma. Kol she Karav Shu Nifter, V'Nifter K'shubal Mim, V'Shalal Imad. The Kol she Karav K'shu Tam. Anything that's now a Tam, then a Nifter. And therefore, if it's a Tam, it can't be redeemed. It has to be brought as a carbon. K'shubal Mum. When it becomes Bamum, K'goyim B'chor Maisa, indeed, he holds me behem in Africa, and it would have to be destroyed. It's not considered Shlal Shemayim.